Thank you, Pastor. I was telling my main man that sat down by me there, I wanted some amens and help him, Lord, and bless him, Jesus. Huh? Believe that'd be legal, don't you? Well, praise God. Count it a great honor to be here tonight. Been looking forward to it since our pastor called and asked me to come and take part in this anniversary evangelistic campaign meeting. That's great, isn't it? And so we just thank God for it. Appreciate the good reports and Sister Lester and Brother Joey and others that have preached and ministered. We just thank God for that. I'll fellowship with you a few momentos before we get in the Word of God tonight, if that'd be all right. But my mind goes back to I've been coming here over 30 years. And I remember I was preaching at Allentown, and Brother Ben Shaw, after I'd preached one night, he said, if you get an opportunity to come by and be with us. And so I was up in Batesville, Mississippi, preaching a meeting, and then left from there and went to Ozark up in the mountains and an AG church up in that area. And I told him, I said, I'll be coming through on such and such a time. He said, well, just come by and preach for us. And I don't remember which one of you sisters it was, but when I pulled up on the campground, came to me and asked me if I'd tell a story about them handcuffs. Who was that? There you go. I thought that's who it was. And then someone else had made mention in what it was, that when I was pastoring a certain church, we needed some land, and they wouldn't sell it to us. And so we just, one night after church, we anointed handcuffs with oil, and I went out and got on other man's property, hallelujah, and buried them handcuffs, brother. And so how many of you did that here and buried them? I thought they was few. And so anyhow, God moved, and the very property that, from what Brother Shaw told me, that couldn't get, well, you got it now. And God blessed and moved, and we give God all the glory, don't we? Give him all the praise and all the honor. Brother Shaw, I remember one, I was telling Brother Shoecraft today that one of the meetings that I preached during Easter in the other church, and how that when I came in, I always sat on the left hand in the corner up there on the front, and someone had left me a card, and from what best I could figure, of course, you know, my handwriting's not the best in the world. I was signing a check here a while back at Walmart, and a girl said, you must be a doctor. Say amen. But anyhow, they had a card for me there and said how appreciative they was of me coming and spending my Easter with you instead of my family, and that touched me, and I've still got that card in my study. But so many things that you've done, Brother Shaw. We one particular meeting, I think that's the one that we were preaching, and I'd get up early every morning and come out and spend time back in the one of the Sunday school rooms over there. And I didn't have a regular coffee maker. I had one of them percolators. You know what I'm telling you, that Georgia troop, troop. I remember one day I was heading me. If you don't drink coffee, don't hold it against me. I'm still going to get anointed. Say amen. But praise God. But I'm telling you that, Brother Shaw said, that thing sounds vicious. Yeah. But I was telling Brother Shoecraft, I remember I had a little bit left over. Somebody poured in a thermos and come out here. And so Brother Ben came by one day, and so I just poured some out the back window, and anyhow, he told me, he said, hey, he said, you're going to have to quit that. He said, that's a strong, so you're going to run the brick out here. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I like it strong, don't you? Praise God. Well, I'd appreciate the offering. Looking forward to manana, the man said. See what the Lord's going to do for us. I enjoyed the testimony. Good to have my precious friend, Brother Mike Maxson, so much. He and I just go back a long ways, and the rest of you, we appreciate you tonight. Young lady in the testimony, singing everything. All right, let's do it. Book of Numbers, chapter number 14. Numbers chapter 14, and I'll read one verse, verse number 24. Will be a pivot for me tonight. So, I want to try to see what we can do by the help and grace of God. Numbers 14 and 24, when you have it, say amen. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And may God help me and anoint me here tonight. Caleb, capable, having the necessities or the necessities and the qualities for capable. That's what he did. That's what he had. I mean, for what? What kind of qualities and things did he have that were necessary? And so we know how that necessary for anything that God would tell him and tell us to do. Tonight, God can give you and I that capability to do anything that he tells us to do. One man said, I am convinced that the believer's victory rests right here because he had another spirit with him. I love that. Because he had another spirit with him. He wasn't like the rest of it, he and Joshua, but we're talking about Caleb tonight, of how that he had a spirit to win. He had a spirit to overcome. He had a spirit that we don't have to back down. I love that. He had a spirit of victory. And you and I tonight, that's the spirit we have. I'm not going to bend, budge, burn, back down. Doesn't make any difference. You know what happens, what occurs. I'm going to come off the wall. I'm going to do something for God. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 1, Moses, the writer, Moses is relating to us about the history of Israel. He's going back, and we'll go back to Numbers in a short, the man said. But he is relating to us of how that the things occurred, things that happened during that particular time. God showed me some things in this. Verse 19, and when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness. I want to show you something here. I want you to notice how that the preacher, somebody said, well, you know, the preacher doesn't do anything but just sit in a recliner and eat chicken and wait on tithes and offerings on Sunday. Well, I admit that's part of it. Praise God. I mean, I'm not going back down on that, Brother Mikey. I do wait upon my little check. And he said, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness. The preacher went through it. The preacher had some trials. The preacher had some troubles. The preacher had some tribulations, that things that he had to face. I mean, Moses got hungry just like the rest of them did. Moses got thirsty just like the rest of them did. Moses had to face the heat of the sun and the burning sand upon his feet and sandals, if you will. Moses himself went through discouragement. I read how that a preacher in days gone by, he said he's a young man, how that a brother told him discouragement is having faith in the devil. And that's pretty tight, isn't it? Discouragement is having faith in the devil. But that is a mighty tool that hell uses, tries to discourage us. And every one of us faces that. And every one of us, and I never will forget of how that I mentioned how that he made mention of we were in the wilderness, we were in the trouble, we were in the trial. Sister Lester, I made mention about Brother Jerry Turner and the many revivals I preached for him. In preaching one particular revival for him years ago, I got a phone call, and a girl that I had worked with, and her husband at one time had got killed in a trying to make a crossing at a train track. The girl was some 7 1/2, maybe 8 months expecting, and her and the baby both were killed. And so I made it home. I preached their funeral, and in the process of being there at the wake, I never will forget how that one of her brother-in-laws, this girl was away from God, her husband away from God, and one of her brother-in-laws was standing there after I'd gone to the casket and viewed the casket with the family. You know how it goes. And I was standing back at the door there speaking to people as they went in, and her brother-in-law very arrogantly walked up to me and said, "You don't have a heart, do you? You don't have any feelings, do you?" I said, "I beg your pardon?" He said, "I have not seen you shed one tear through all of this." And I said, "Let me tell you something, pal." I said, "I drove 125 miles and couldn't hardly see the road for the time of my weeping, for the time of my crying." He said, "For the time of me going through the wilderness, me going through this trouble, me going through this trial." I said, "I have, you know, just 2 weeks prior, 2 weeks ago, I stood in your brother's house, and I looked at him and said, 'Rufus, when are you coming to church?' And he just looked at me, backslid away from God. And I turned and looked at his wife that got killed in that accident. I turned and asked her, I said, 'When are you coming?' And she said, 'When he gets ready.' He did not get ready. She did not get ready. And she went out into eternity, as far as I know, without God." So I'm telling you tonight that the preacher, that the man of God said, "We went through all the great, terrible wilderness. I went through it with you. I suffered with you. I prayed with you. I fasted with you. I wept with you. I went through days and nights of not knowing when sleep would come." The man of God goes through it with you. Can you say amen? This man of God went through it, and he said how the Lord doeth give us. God is going to give us. He said, "Go and possess it. Go and take it. Fear not, neither be discouraged." Don't be discouraged. God has given us this land. God has told us we're going to have it, and therefore go for it. Now, you read it like I have, of how verse number 22 in that chapter, "And they came near, everyone came to him and said, 'Let's send spies into the cities.' And Moses saying, 'It pleased me well, and I took 12 men of every tribe and went through the tribe.'" Now, I'll tell you something here. This was not the perfect will of God. I said, this was not the perfect will of God. God told them, "Go and possess the land." He didn't say, "Go spy the land out." But because, see, God was willing to allow them to go and investigate the land. It was not the will of God. God said, "Simply go get it. It's yours. You can have it. I mean, it's your land." But Moses, God allowed him to allow them to go and investigate the land. And so that's where we're at tonight concerning our story, concerning how that Caleb and others went. I mean, 12 of them went, And it's been preached and brought out till it's threadbare. Thank God 10 came back with the gripes and 2 came back with the grapes. And so that's the way it is. And so we find here in the Word of God, sir, as they came back, as they began to come back of how that Caleb, now listen, and they told him, talking about Moses, they told him, we came unto the land that you spent sent us. It flowed with milk and honey, and there's fruit there. And I'm telling you, everybody's shouting happy, everybody's getting excited. And then they said, nevertheless, we got too many nevertheless sitting around the house of God. We got too many that are nitpicking about some things, sir, that we need to get, as Brother Don Rich would say, get beyond that. Now, I just talk about beyond, and he is beyond, say amen. But I'm talking about tonight, we've got a lot of nevertheless people that need to get away from that. And they said, the cities are walled. I mean, the children of Anak, they're giants there. One man said how we had grasshopper-itis. I love that. Say amen. I mean, didn't have laryngitis, had grasshopper-itis. And on and on and on. But Caleb stilled the people. I love that. Caleb stilled the people. I mean, they had got to say, and that's right, we can't take it. God will never bless. God will never bless the church. God cannot do in the buildings too much for us to handle. We can't build this building. We can't pay for this building. Say amen. But I'm telling you, we got an anniversary tonight. Thank God, celebrating. It's paid for. It's built. Everything's done because somebody had faith enough to say, we're going to build. We're going to do. We're going to go. We're going to claim the land. We're going out. Plant handkerchiefs, whatever it may be, bury them, and believe God that God will move. Come on, say amen tonight. We're going to believe God. We're going to stand, and Caleb steal the people. And before Moses and say, let us go up at once. What are we tarrying for? What are we waiting for? I want to shout it tonight. Thank God, no matter hell. Once you get the will of God, son, once you know the mind of God, and there's one thing about my precious bride, she said, when my husband gets it locked down, when he knows he's got God's will, I can't talk him out of it. Can't anybody talk him out of it? But when he knows that he's doing what God wants him to do, and could I tell us tonight, thank God, that's what you and I need to do, is what this book said, and that is obey God, step out by faith, and let God help us. He still the people. I love that. He said, hey, settle down. What's all this unbelief? What's all this talking negative? Amen. I mean, you know, I tell them sometimes, great God, they some people gonna gripe for ice creams cold. I mean, you cannot satisfy them. I mean, no matter what, well, we need to do this, we need to do that. No, we don't. We need to go and possess the land. We need to go and do what God wants us to do and obey the Lord. One preacher in days gone by, he said in the dining room of his dad's home, there was a sign on the wall that said, have you ever considered how much unbelief has cost you? Huh? Have you ever considered how much unbelief has cost you? You didn't believe it. You didn't step out. You wouldn't obey me. I've learned through the years, sir, thank God of heaven, when you feel to do something, I mean, go ahead and do it. When you feel like it is God's will, hell will tell you God's not going to move. The devil will tell you you cannot overcome. But thank God we're made overcomers. Isn't that right? He told the 7 churches, you're an overcomer. You and I tonight, the devil don't have dominion over you. You've got dominion over the devil. We have authority over the devil. They came back, and he said, even devils and demons are subject unto you. Could I tell you tonight that you and I are capable of standing against the devil? You and I need to mark a spot, and here it is. Shout it in the mouth of hell and tell the devil, I will not bend, I will not budge, I will not burn. Thank God I'm going to hold on to God. You're a child of God. Give us dominion over the devil. He said in the book of Micah, he said, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, when I am down. Thank God I'm going to get up again. Don't shout too much, devil. I'm coming out of it. Don't rejoice too much, Sister Lester's what he'll try to tell you. I'm coming out of it. Don't get too happy. Yeah, I'm going to get happy about it. But I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, thank God, he is able. He is able. I mean, this man realized I'm capable by the help and grace of God. He said, all you're talking is defeat. All you're talking is nothing but a faint-heartedness, fear of man. You're nothing but a stumbling block. That's right. And they brought up an evil report. I've gone, stepped out sometimes. Great God, I went to preach evangelistic meeting one time. I'm telling you, I won't get into all of it. But I had one man went over there with me on a Sunday evening. West Point, Georgia, brother. They had asked me to come preach a meeting. It's in an old Methodist church, and the Assembly of God people had it. Had about five people there. That's all they had, Brother Shaw. And went over on a Sunday afternoon, drove from Meridian, and a friend of mine went with me. He said, we're going back over there. He said, Brother Russell, you going to go over and hold revival? I said, yeah, I am. And here's what he told me. He said, I've seen you step out on faith, but said, I believe you stepped out on ignorance this time. That's what he told me. Can you believe a man said that to me? Huh? He said, I believe you stepped out on ignorance. I didn't have anywhere to stay. Like I say, just five people there. They didn't have nowhere for me to stay. I went to a truck stop. After I found out I was a preacher, they wouldn't let me stay at a truck stop. And there's a man in the hospital that's affiliated with that church. And he sent word. He said he was a sinner. And by the help of God, I won him to the Lord. He said, I'll let him stay in my house. Listen to me. I'm just telling you what the Holy Ghost told me. The Holy Ghost told me, he said, I'm going to let you eat two pieces of bread a day and drink a little water. That'll tell you different. And somebody said, well, great God, that ain't fast. I'll tell you something, pal. Knock yourself out then. Come on. Glory to God. Huh? I'm going to tell you like it is, brother, at the end of every day. I mean, days went by. I'm preaching to the same crowd day in and day out, every night. I mean, I'd go back to that. Go because in the summertime, you talking about hot. It's hot in there. No, nothing. No air conditioner, no nothing. I sat down. And I'm going to tell you like it is. When I got to eating that bread, I didn't eat it in a hurry. I just took a little bite at a time because I knew it was going to be 24 hours before I got another. I walked in there one night, listen to me, I went by faith, I took the challenge, I speak as a fool, I knew I was capable. I walked in there one night and there's two girls and a boy come in, and I mean I had a message ready, but I mean brother, it was back when they was hippies. I'm talking hand selected. I did like the black man said, I run from Genesis to Revolution. I try and find me something, you know, preach to the lost. I I got a scripture, I forget what it was, and I cast that net out, Brother Mike. Preaching is reaching. I'm reaching. And I'm telling you, that boy and one of the girls come to the altar that night. I'm telling you, with both hands up, son. When I knelt down where he was, great God, I smelled him before I got to him. I mean, he smelled like an Arab with a goat under his arm, son. He's in bad shape. Come on here. That man's rough. Lord, well, thank God. Say amen. Whosoever will, let him come. I mean, long, matted hair. I walked in, listen, next night, I walked in that church. I'm telling you, listen to me. Here's a young man there, haircut just like mine, hand-selected. I'm telling you, white shirt on, brand new blue jeans with a Bible under his arm, brother. And he looked at me. I said, how are you? He said, I'm fine. I said, good to have you. He said, I was here last night. I said, oh, brother, praise God. I can't believe it, but I'm glad you're here. He went on to be an Assembly of God preacher. Listen to me. I speak of the food, Brother Shaw. The word got out. I said, the word got out. And the following week, church about this size from that door to over here, I guess. But I'm telling you, you couldn't get another human being in that building, brother. I said, they opened the front doors of the church and people standing outside. Come on, why? Because somebody believed God. Listen, if we will just believe God, you and I are capable. I said, we're capable. He said, hey, we're well able. Thank God we're well able. You know who you are? We're well able. It doesn't make a difference who you are. I mean, your speech may not be the best. I mean, tell you, you know, you may mispronounce a word, hit within 100 miles of it, but thank God, get up and preach it anyhow. I said, get up and sing anyhow. Get up and praise God anyhow. Get up and worship God anyhow. You and I are capable of the work of God. Come on, lift your hands and love God. I can do. I will do. We will build. We will grow. We will fast. We will seek God. I was preaching for a brother as of late. I've traveled about 3,500 miles, pushing 4 in the last month or so. Preached for a brother and went in his study. He had some R.W. Shambaugh tapes, brother. Huh? Praise God, I'm gonna tell you. Old Shambaugh, the man said, Brother Joey said, you know, charge hell with a water gun after listening to that man preach. Say amen. But I heard him, he's talking about, said when he was in school, junior high, they call it middle school now, right in the middle of it. And he said this guy bullied him around, Jap slapping on him all the time. And he said he went on through that, went on through high school. He said about the last year in the 12th grade, he said, I got to thinking about that. He said, I'd put on a little meat, you know. He said, I'm standing there one night at my house. I said, look at that, Shambaugh. Look at them arms on you. I said, Charles Atlas, whoever. That's who you are. He said, you can take that bully. He said, yeah, I sure can. I can take him, bring him on. I can handle him. I'll take the challenge. I can do it. And he said, he just built himself all up. Said that next day he went to school and said, walking down to Carter and said he had his books and said, look, and here come that guy. He said, you know, I didn't feel as brave then as I was at the house. But he said, I'm telling you, said, I just kind of turned and looking away from him, but just watching him also, and said, he passed me by and said, I took a breath of relief. And said, about that time, just about time I got relief, said, I felt somebody right behind me, whop! It slapped me upside the head. He said, I stood there a moment. He said, I threw these books down. And I said, come on. And he said, he looked at me and said, I've been waiting on you to do that. And he said, it looked like all the blood run out of my body. He said, I was pale as cotton. But come on now, you love it. Don't get ahead of me. But he said, I'm telling you, he said, about that time, he said, I just went up to him. He said, there was two different licks. He said, two. He said, I hit him and he hit the floor. He said, that's all it was to it. He said, he had a glass jaw. He said, he went down like a Titanic, just laying on the floor. And said, I looked at him and I began to jump and holler. And then he said, I got mad. He said, all of this time, he's run over me. All this time, he's come against me and come to find out he didn't have nothing but a glass jaw. I'm going to tell you something tonight. The devil don't have nothing but a glass jaw. Say amen to me. I said, hell don't have nothing but a glass jaw. Thank God, what you need to do is start fighting back. Say amen to me. Fight back. Fight back. I mean, you make up your mind. This man made up his mind. God said, we can have it. I'm going to take it. God gave me the promise. Now, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. This man in the book of Joshua. I love it, don't you? Joshua, that means you can smile. You'll get that about 3 o'clock in the morning. You'll punch your wife and say, you know, I really understood what he said. Huh? Glory to God. It came a time, Moses is gone. Now he said, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses. And he said, I've had it in my heart. He said, I had it in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly father the Lord. Don't you look at this. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. Shall be thine inheritance. You claimed it 25 years ago. Say amen. You walked on it 25 years ago and said, this is our land. God's going to give it to us. God's going to move for us. You claimed that soul and that soul and that soul and that soul. Hear me tonight, Mama. You laid them before the Lord. You held on for the Lord. Now listen to this. I'm going to show you something here. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Caleb was a type of the church. And he's saying, God has kept me alive. I'm going to shout it tonight. God has kept the church alive. No matter how much defeat, no matter how many problems, no matter how hell may rage, God had kept me alive. Now, I love this. He said, I'm 85 years old now. But he said, I've got 45-year-old faith. I love that. I'm holding on to what God told me. You know what he said? Now, give me this mountain. I'm telling you. There's some promises, son, that God has told me. And some things, Brother Shaw, that the Lord's told me. And I'm going to live till it comes to pass. I'm going to lift your hands and love God tonight. God. God spoke it to you. God told you He was going to do it. You stand firm. You don't bend, budge. You don't back down. You say, God, You said it. I believe it. You're going to do it. These young men visiting today, our young lady speaking about new ones coming in, our brother speaking about how that God's in the healing business, other brethren testifying, others are. We're living in that time. I told you a few weeks ago how the Holy Ghost told me the sales are down. Are you listening? Are you listening? The sales are down. We're capable. I read an article the other day, and we covered some of this today, Pastor, in speaking. But a story in the Gideon magazine of a pastor named Brent Meador, that pastors Christian Fellowship in Wilsonville, Oregon. When he was 12 years old, God called him to preach. For 12 years, when he was 12, he started teaching a class there and teaching verse by verse as his pastor taught him to do. And he started to go later on, go to college, but his pastor encouraged him, say, you stay here and be on the staff for me and work here. And he stayed there till he was 24 years old. And God dealt with him to go to South Oregon, and he went to Portland. And he went to Portland there at Williamsonville, Oregon. And when he went, they just had a Bible study in their home. It wasn't long, they had 20 people coming. As in 1996, I saw a picture they had in this particular magazine of how that now they're in a warehouse. And they are having crowds every week of 4,000 people. 4,000 people that are coming. He took the challenge. He said these words. We see people coming to believe in Jesus Christ and getting baptized all the time. Now, how much in depth they are, I do not know. I don't know. But I'm telling you, thank God, there's somebody there's right with God. I said, there's somebody there's right. Hear me, beloved. Take the challenge. Hear me. You know the reason I'm where I'm at tonight? Somebody made one more phone call. Somebody was interested. Somebody was concerned about my soul. You're in that place tonight and hell tells you God will not move. I'm asking you tonight, hold on to the promise. Hold on to the promise. We're well able to overcome. We're well able to take it. I mean, you tell the devil, God said it, I believe it, and that's it. Period. Period. Won't you stand with me? You say, I'm facing some opposition. Well, bless your heart. I'm facing some things I never thought I would face. I've been there. I've been there when we started work at Trinity. I had men that I had helped and et cetera that completely turned their back on me. Because we came and started an independent church. But I want to shout it. God has moved. God has gave me whoremongers, women that walk the red light districts. I've seen God move and bless and save marriages and save homes and bring them in. Why? Because somebody obeyed God. You're facing things tonight, and we're not going to have a line for this, and this. But you're here tonight. Shot in the dark. No, I'm not. There's plenty of you here tonight that you're capable of overcoming what the problem you're facing. And God wants to help you. And you believe God tonight, I'm going to step out. God's going to move for me. and promises that God said, I've got a son. My son Todd is away from God. I saw him the other day. I was getting ready to leave, and I called his office. You can't hardly get in there, can you, Brother Mike? So many trucks and everything. Can't hardly get in there to talk to him. So I called and I missed him, sister. And so I was going by a little restaurant there above the church, and I saw his truck, and I whipped in. He said, "Daddy, I was hoping I'd get to see you." And so he talked with me for a moment, and he reached through the window of that truck, and now I can't ever leave him without him saying, "I love you, Daddy." And my wife, God gave her a promise. She said, "I'm going to save his soul. I'm going to save his soul." Sister, you holding on that promise? Come on, step right up here. Conviction. Get hold of them. Come here. All right, that's the way we're going right here. You got loved ones, don't you? Step out and stand in the gap, make a hedge for them right now. Come on up here, please. Please, that's the way we're going. That's the way I feel, Lord. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. I love a shot of Ohio. Yep, Toddy be shoot through the eye, the other of a heart of Ohio. Standing in the gap. Making up the hedge and believing you, Lord. They can't go so far in the hog pen that God can't bring them out. You hear me? I said they can't go so far in the depths of sin that he cannot reach and bring them out. The Bible said when he came to himself, he said, "I will arise, go to my Father's house." Come on now. Come on now. God going to bring them out. God is going to bring them out. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. Oh, God. I'm saved to the uttermost. You're going to save them. You're going to get hold of them, Jesus. Oh, sweet Lamb of God. I'm believing you, Lord. We're capable. We're capable of taking the city. We're capable of taking the forces of hell. Come on up here, sis. Thank God. Come on, brother. Pray it. God, we're capable. God of heaven, we're capable tonight. Amen. Lift your hand right there. We're capable. Oh, God. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Shall I my mundanity be cuttable, yakabo, shakabe? Yell I my cuttable, yakadek, yakabo, hiyo. Oh, God. Oh, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Tell that sister right there, Sister Maxson. Come here, sis. Come right up here. Pastor, pray with me here. Won't you look at me? Won't you look at me? Going to believe God for me? If any two agree on touching anything in heaven or in earth, you're going to agree with me. Break the shackle. Break the shackle. Loose the shackle. Move in Jesus' name. Go! Go! Come on! Come on! Come on! Oh, Lord God, I'm believing you. I'm believing you. I'm believing you. I'm believing God. I'm believing the Lord. I don't care how far they've gone in sin. I don't care how much they've done. God can get hold of them. I hadn't forgot where God brought me from, son. And David said he brought me up and out of a horrible pit. I don't know how. Sing it. Thank God. But I know. Come on up here, honey. Yes, ma'am. Come on up here. I'm gonna pray for you, lady. That's right, help her. Come on. Jesus, come on now. Oh, God of heaven, help her tonight, God. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord God. Help her tonight, precious Lord. Come on, children. Come on, let's pray. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I know God. I know God gonna move.
Just